Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. You know, we talked this morning about natural law and the legal system. And the legal system is a construct within the natural law. You can't create a legal system unless you understand natural law. And I've told this story many times before. My father, he was an attorney. After World War II, he went back to college and became an attorney, went to was Creighton University, graduated summa cum laude, took the Texas bar exams, highest score ever at that time, and got to speak in front of the American Bar Association. And he spoke on the natural law. This is one of the few stories my dad ever told me about when he spoke on the natural law. And he told me this story after I was writing the book Covenants of the Gods and had brought him, you know, the first chapters and shared them with him. And he read them over, asked a few questions, and he finally said, "You're right, but they're not going to like you." Because in the book Covenants of the Gods, which you can read free online, it's in PDF and PHP and HTML formats. It's on numerous websites, and you can read it for free. I just give it away for free. But a lot of people don't read it. And some of the people who do take the time to read it, they've read it many, many times. And they say every time they read it, they find something new because it's written in layers for layers of understanding. And my father, who wrote law books, he understood it. He had to ask a few questions to make sure he understood where I was coming from. But then he said, "You're right, but they're not going to like you because it reveals the system. But if you don't read it in all the layers, you will not understand the system. You will think that the system is about the legal system." Well, that's not what the book is really about. It's about the lawful system, the system of natural law. And that system of natural law is what governs the legal system. The legal system governs the men who enter the legal system. The legal system is like a box. It is like a house. It is like a container. It is an institution of mankind. It is not an institution of God, but if you create it according to the law of nature, it becomes an institution or instrument of God, in which men may be bound. They still have their inalienable rights. They simply do not have access to them because they're bound in this legal system. I mean, you have the right to do anything you want this morning unless you make a contract that you're going to be at so-and-so's house under penalty of law to work for him. And then, in that case, you do not have the right to make any choice you want. Now, some people want to apply rules of this contract. Oh, well, it has to be written. It has to be specific. It has to show terms. I have to sign it. No. No, you don't. That you're interpreting the law of contract based on the legal system. The law of contract existed in nature. It pre-existed in nature. And so you don't need all those items. You simply need evidence of a meeting of the minds. And so if I offered you, I said, you can have this stuff here on condition, and you don't bother to ask me what the conditions are. You just take the stuff. I get to apply the conditions. You didn't tell me that was the condition. You didn't ask. You didn't ask what the conditions were. You know, didn't you even watch Merchant of Venice? Did you even see the play? This is the way it works. Everything is based on this contract law in the law of nature. Once you enter into a legal system, then you can apply the rules of a legal system. But the law of nature, not so. You know, that's another thing people are always saying, oh, you won't find capitalism anywhere in nature. Every squirrel that gathers nuts is a capitalist. He gathers those nuts. He defends those nuts. Those are his nuts. You can't have them. And if you try to take them, he will fight you for them. And if he can get other squirrels to back him up, they'll all fight you for him. Just ask any red squirrel who tries to invade gray squirrel country. Because the gray squirrels are tougher. They can kill the red squirrel. The red squirrel is faster. He can castrate the gray squirrel. And he does that occasionally to prevent the gray squirrel from breeding so he can take over his territory. His capitalist property. So all these things are already in nature. The law of contract and the law of possession and the property and everything. They all exist in nature. And people create legal systems in order to regulate the way in which we exercise those natural rights. But when you create a legal system, you limit the natural rights. Because now you're in this construct. Now, you can certainly go and come and go out of such constructs, unless, of course, you also go into debt, where you eat first and pay later, and you didn't know what the price was. You didn't look on the menu to see, can I afford this? What's the cost? Well, you know, Jesus talks about counting the cost. You haven't done that. Jesus talks about a lot of things, the Sabbath, Moses tells us to keep the Sabbath. What is keeping the Sabbath? People think it has, well, it's a special day, and we count these days on the calendar, and this is the Sabbath. No, the Sabbath is about working first and then enjoying the fruits of that labor. It's about no debt. Making no covenants with them is about making no contract with them. Certainly not making a contract where you are in debt, where you owe something for something. And that you want something and you take it and you have to pay for it later. That's not keeping the Sabbath. That is not keeping the Sabbath. Somebody was just trying to make a deal with me, wanted to trade some meat for some stuff he couldn't take with him. He's moving to another place and he wanted to leave these things behind, but he could take some meat. So he wanted to trade some meat for the stuff. And so I don't know what the stuff's worth. I wouldn't go and buy it. And so how do I make this trade? And he wanted me to answer right then. And I said, well, I don't even have the meat yet in the freezer. So until I do, I can't make the trade because I don't have it yet. I can't agree to the trade until I have it. By nature, I know that. I can't do it. Mentally, I never could do it. I always had that problem. I got to have it to buy it. I don't go into debt. But people go into debt for everything today. Not only, you know, the loans you take out to buy your house, to buy your car, to buy your TV, to buy your couch, your credit cards, everything. Go into debt. I can't do that. I've been a Sabbath keeper since I was a small child. If I can't afford it, I don't buy it. And that's a good policy. And that's why God gave us that policy in the Ten Commandments. But your preachers don't tell you what that really means. They got you thinking, oh, we got to count these days and it's got to be this day and then we can't do any work on this day. And they completely distorted the original text. I mean, the original Hebrew is still there. And if you understand Hebrew, you could tell. But really, you don't need to understand Hebrew to tell if you were doing what Christ said, which was listening to God in your heart and your mind. In other words, Christ says it's not by flesh and blood, it's not by all your studying, forever studying and never coming to the knowledge of the truth, it's coming to the knowledge of God and just knowing. And people don't get that. And they won't get that. They won't come into that understanding unless they make other choices first. Just like I said, abortion is a product of choices that we've made. We've been changed by choices that we've made. And then we make new choices and it changes us more and changes us more until we're walking around like zombies and we don't know. Somebody was just telling me a story about somebody who pulled into a church because he couldn't start his car and he needed help. And so a local person towed him to the next valley where there was a mechanic and said, if it doesn't cost much, I will help you fix it. And they thought, well, he's probably hungry, so we'll take up a collection of food. And they brought him food, and he really was appreciative. Thanks a lot and everything, and knew how to, you know, make everybody feel good because they're giving him food. When he opened up the back of his van, it was stacked with food, just full of food. Where did he get it all? He'd been stopping at churches all along the way and getting free handouts. He filled his whole van full of, but it ended up that the repairs were too much. He was just going to sell the van and go off and get another van. And he says, well, how are you going to take all this food with you? And they said, well, I can fill up on that much food in a day or two, just stopping here and there in different places, because people are always giving it away. His whole lifestyle is based on that. But he knows how to make people feel good about giving to him. He's an undeserving poor. He's not even poor. He just doesn't work. But he knows how to work people. The Bible tells you, if you do not work, you do not eat. He's being changed by what he's doing. And the people who are giving to him, they're being changed by what they're doing. But they're not being changed towards the kingdom of God. They're being weakened. They're being deluded. Why didn't they see he was the undeserving poor? He should not have been given. He did not work. He should not eat. He should go hungry. You know, he should be without. You should not be giving to people. You need to give wisely. You know, you don't just give. That's wrong. You know, when it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What do they mean, poor in spirit? You mean not have much spirit? No. The word poor there, poor in spirit, what are they talking about? Blessed are the poor in spirit. What word is that? It is translated poor a lot of times, but it actually means beggarly. It means to, it actually comes from a word that can actually mean terrify. But it actually also is in couple with a word that kind of means fall or fall down. But poor in spirit, what are they talking about? It's talking about somebody who has this humble, beggarly spirit. They're asking because they need help. It's your job to make sure that what they're asking for is what they need. I've been stopped by people who said he was hungry and needed food. And I said, well, come in, I'll buy you dinner. You know, there's a restaurant right here. Let's go on in, I'll buy you something to eat. Oh, no, I don't want to go in there. Why not? It's good food. And don't you have some money you could give me? It's just, well, you said you wanted food. It'd be wrong to give them. We don't know how to be a charitable people, because it wasn't charity to give that guy food. It wasn't charity to offer to pay for his car. I knew somebody who was putting up somebody for a long time, feeding them, making a sack lunch, and he was supposedly going out and looking for work. He was actually begging on corners and getting those $10 and $20 bills you other idiots are giving him. While he's standing on the corner, comes back and says they couldn't find a job, and they feed him again, and they take him up, and they let him stay in this trailer. And the minister who was doing this finally went up to see him one time, and he saw the light was on. He looked in the window, and the guy had stacks of money on the table. Hundreds of dollars on the table, just stacks of money he was counting. And he was just accumulating this money, begging all day. He had a place to go for free at night. He had food that was made for him every day. He knew all the places that he could go get free food in town. He just didn't want to work. If you don't work, you don't eat. You know, this is basic in our society. And it's what made America great. That and the fact that we did help those who were in true need. And they did take care of those who were in true need, who could not work, who were injured or whatever. You don't know how to do that. You're changed by it. But anyway, we're talking about this law of nature and nature's God. And, you know, we gave the definition this morning that the law of nature is defined as divine will. It's the will of God. God created nature And it's built into nature that if you do certain things a certain way, you will be changed by them. If you do things in another way, you will be changed by them. And you are bound in a legal system, not because the legal system, people say, oh, we have to look up in the legal, find out how they bound us. You will not find out how they bound you by looking up in the legal system. You might, but really the way you find out is how the law of nature works. And you're not supposed to make covenants with them nor with their gods. Their gods are men who decide what is good and evil. You've all entered into a legal system. You're now bound in that legal system, and now you want loose, some of you. Some of you don't want loose. You want to keep sucking down those benefits at the expense of your neighbor, like we talked about and Polybius talked about and Plutarch talked about and Christ talked about and John the Baptist talked about. You want those, so go have them. That system will fail and you will die with it. If you don't come out with a poor in spirit heart, a beggarly heart, don't expect any help from us, because Jesus was clear that you do not let in the foolish virgin. You don't let them in. You lock the door and you do not let in the foolish virgin. I mean, why would you let zombies into your house? Why would you let the dead into your house? The repentant, that's something else. But everybody's going to repent. I mean, like Noah in the flood, he sealed it up. He went out and preached and that nobody came, and so he sealed it up. Now, there may have been other people in there, but Noah and his family were the eight. We don't know who else was in there. Some people say, oh, there was nobody else in there. There was only them. Well, only them that were inheriting the kingdom from generation to generation, because he was righteous in his generations. But they talk about the beasts of the fields, and we see the words beasts of the fields, and you think, well, that's animals. Well, no, because it actually translates as the living souls of the field. Now, we already loaded all the animals, so who are those living souls? Well, you see, there's more to the Bible than meets the eye, and there's more to it in your eschatology and theology, but I'm not going to debate that. You can believe what you want. But I know this, that if you do not live by love and charity, if you live by men who call themselves benefactors who exercise authority, if you survive by their benefits, by biting one another, by taking from your neighbor, you're not seeking the kingdom of God, and you're not saved, and you don't know Jesus. You don't know what he was teaching, you don't know what he was preaching, and you're not seeking the kingdom of God. Now, you may find yourself in that situation. Now you have a reason to repent, turn around, and go the other way. And the early church went that other way. They didn't just go, you know, you guys go off that way, we'll see you sometime. You guys go off that direction, we'll see you sometime. They actually did not forsake the gathering together. They used a network of ministers to gather thousands and thousands of people together all across the Roman Empire and beyond. And as Rome fell, they did pretty good, even though they were only about 5% of the population, because they were willing to take care of one another. You, on the other hand, I don't know where you're going to be. You're going to be with those foolish virgins, banging on the door, let me in, let me in. Because you haven't been seeking the kingdom of God. You think the kingdom of God is for the dead. No. Kingdoms of the world is for the dead. The kingdom of God is for the living. The living live by love. They don't live by force. They don't live by benefactors who exercise authority, or at least men who call themselves benefactors. You do. And by natural law, because you desire the benefit, you're bound in the system. That's right. You're bound in the system by that. Now, if you want to loosen those bonds, what do you do? How do you do it? You don't do it the way you've been doing it. You do it another way altogether. There's all kinds of these maxims of law. And they don't all point to natural law. And some of them are, you know, accepted in the constructive legal systems. You know, and they have things, you know, like abundance. Abundant caution does no harm. And that, well, actually it can. But, you know, they're trying to express ideas. The absolute, unqualified sentence or proposition needs no expositor. So what the heck does that mean? I mean, there's a million of these little maxims of law, and they're expressing certain ideas, and most people can't even wrap their head around them, or what they mean, or how they apply. And we mention them a lot in the Covenants of the Gods, and we take specific ones that are instrumental in creating the establishment of those social compacts. A lot of people want to think there are no social compacts. That's just all a bunch of hooey. These people are fools who think that. They're ignorant fools. And we would like to help them stop being ignorant fools, but they are so arrogant oftentimes that you cannot even explain anything to them. They think they know it already. And Jesus had problems with the same kind of people. You know, and he'd ask them a question and they would give these non-answers. He says, you tell me nothing, so I tell you nothing. Yeah, and the fact is, you know, I had a discussion with somebody I've known for probably 15 years, and he is just so set in his angry ways and resentful ways that he cannot even see how unjust he's becoming day by day. He doesn't see how it's changing him, that anger and resentment. You know, he's angry with his brother and other members of his family, and he's unforgiving, and he is so self-righteous that he cannot see how it's turning him into a monster and a wicked individual, which we should have nothing to do with. He's a backbiter. He's a gossiper. He doesn't think so, though. He thinks he's a man of God, but only in his imagination. He is not doing what Christ said. And it's so simple to do what Christ said. Care about others in real ways. And it says, what is good and equal is the law of laws. So if you take the benefit, and there's all kinds of maxims on that, you know, I could probably look them up. Maybe I will during the break. I probably should have done it before I even came on the air and just put them together and I could go through and read a bunch of them. But we have these in articles over and over again throughout the website. And it tells you how all these things work. And I pointed out the last part of the show earlier this morning that in Genesis 12:2 we see, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So he's going to bless him so that he becomes this great nation, and this great nation shall be a blessing. And then we see in Genesis 17:20 where he's talking about Ishmael. And he says that he will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly, and make him a great nation, too. And people read that often and they say, well, see, Ishmael, which is the Muslim or Arab countries, really, kind of, that's what some people decipher it as. It actually doesn't mean that, but they may be descendants of Ishmael. They claim to be. And so they think of themselves as a great nation, like we see in Genesis 12:2. The problem is the word in Genesis 12:2 for great is not the same word we see translated great in Genesis 17:20. And this is the way, you know, the sophistry works, is that they take the same word and they translate it different ways, and they take different words and they translate them the same way. And they do this thousands of times in the Bible, all over the Bible. I mean, like, and I could give you hundreds of examples, probably just right out of my head. But this is just one that we're talking about here. The Ishmael is going to be a great nation, but the word that he used for great means large. You know, that's why he says multiply exceedingly, because it's going to be large. It's going to be a lot of people. The nation is sometimes translated people, Gentile. It means peoples, you know, a group of people somehow. And they will be a very numerous group of people, large in that sense. But the promise up there in Genesis 12:2 When he says a great nation that will be blessed and be a blessing, that great is not large. It means nourishing or nourished. They will be a nourished nation, a blessed nation. And why? Because they bless others. So if you want to be free, how do you get free? If you want to break the bonds which have connected you to another, you know, what is it? We hold these truths to be self-evident. You know, that all men are created equal. You know, and if it becomes necessary to break the bands which have connected us to another, what are those bands? How do you break them? How do you become a truly great nation in the sense of Genesis 12:2? You have to be a blessing. It's not enough that you stop biting one another. It's not enough that you stop taking the benefits of the beast, of the rulers of the world, of the benefactors who exercise authority, of the fathers of the earth. It's not enough that you stop taking their benefits. You have to become a benefit to others if you truly want to break the bands and receive the blessing. You've wanted to take benefits by biting one another, by living at the expense of your neighbor, by taking from your neighbor. Like the guy with the van. He's glad you give to him. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate this. But what was he going to do with all that stuff when he sold this? He's just going to dump it. He's just giving it away. He didn't care. It doesn't mean anything to him. He didn't work for it. It wasn't of any value to him. I mean, why is there so many abortions? Baby's no value to the mother. It's just a lot of trouble, a lot of work. No value. Just dump it. Abort it. What the heck, right? What's going to happen to her? Is she going to be aborted by God? Unless she repents, yes, absolutely. She's going to be aborted by God. Of course, she didn't believe in God, but that doesn't really make any difference. Her belief does not determine the existence of God. It may determine her existence. But what about her husband? Why wasn't he encouraging her to have the baby? Why wasn't he being a part of help? Or was he even married? They've been want to have fun. Got pregnant. Well, maybe they think, oh, well, I can't afford this baby. Can you afford to kill it? Abortion is a symptom. The fact that socialism is so dominant in the world today is a symptom. Like it says on our page on socialism, socialism, and I'm quoting somebody else, socialism is the religion you get when you have no religion, because religion was how you took care of one another. It isn't about going to church and feeling good. I like that church because I feel so good. I love the music in that church. People actually tell me that. I'm thinking like, are you crazy? Are you insane? But they are. They're not sane. They're not aware. They don't know Jesus. It's all about what feels good. And Jesus makes them feel good. Well, Jesus said, I didn't come to make you feel good. I came to bring a sword, divide you. Divide you from what? Wickedness. Divide you from being workers of iniquity. Divide you from your selfishness so that you start caring and loving one another and being charitable to one another. That's why Jesus came. He didn't come to condemn you to hell. You're already condemned to hell. You're already headed there. You've got one foot in that grave already, if not two. He come to raise the dead, to bring you back to life. And the only way you're going to come back to life is that you have to start becoming a blessing to others, and not just your buddies, to people you don't even know. And that's the natural law. That's how you loose the bands which have connected you and bound you. It's not legal wrangling. I've seen so many people over the years, decades upon decades, people in jail lose everything, lose their homes, lose their businesses, making really good money and a really good living with beautiful home, lose it all because nobody gave them, or they wouldn't receive it when they were given it. the message of Christ, which is to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and that righteousness includes loving your neighbor with charity, a charity that strengthens the poor. I just was reciting. I'll tell you, what was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? You have a couple of minutes to look that up, because I'm going to go to a little break here, and we'll see if you can think, what was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? Anyway, we'll look at that. Okay, well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So, what was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? In a time of affluence, they did not strengthen the poor. Now, that's a different word for poor. That's not the beggarly word for poor. That's in the Hebrew. So, the needy, the people who are in need. Now, why are they in need? Are they lazy? Are they ignorant? Are they selfish? Are they just fell on hard times? Where things got difficult and they just couldn't make it. I mean, life is rough at times. But they want to make it. They would like to learn. They would like to learn to fish. They would like to learn to stand on their own two feet. You know, I talked to a fellow who was begging on the street, and I asked him why he wasn't able to work. And he says, oh, well, you know, we're just camped out of town. And I says, well, you're asking me for money. Why do you need money? Are you looking for work? And he says, no, this is just a lifestyle. And so the lifestyle is that you go around and beg money from other people who do work so that you don't have to work. And he says, well, you know, we just, and he just kept on making excuses. And I says, well, I chose a lifestyle too. I work for a living. And people who don't want to work for a living, I don't support him. And he says, well, bless you, my son. Well, I wasn't his son. And I didn't feel blessed. You're creating a nation of zombies by rewarding people who choose not to work, who choose not to expend their life for the benefit of others. These people bring the spirit of abortion. They will abort their children. They will sell their children into bondage. They will sell their neighbor for a pot of porridge. For their comfort, they don't care what happens to you. Why are you supporting them? Why are you giving them food banks to go to? Why are you... That is not the answer. It used to be, we had food kitchens around for 100 years. But when you came into the food kitchen, you would expect that a minister or somebody working there would sit down and talk to you about, why are you in that food kitchen? What is your real problem? Sure, you're hungry right now. What is your real problem? I bet you I could clear the food kitchens out so they wouldn't have to waste food on these wasted people, these foolish virgins who do not work. They don't go into the kingdom, but they just lay heavy burdens on other people. Help me, I need. They're mentally ill. You want to heal them, they need a good dose of truth. Not more free bread. Free bread and circuses destroyed Rome. It's destroying your nation. Look at what happened to Europe. Look what's going on there. Thousands, every day, today, children were raped in Europe. Today. I mean, if you get 800 rapes, or actually more than that, over 1,000 rapes a year in Sweden alone. How many rapes do you get in the rest of Europe? Most of this is by the new immigrants that are coming in. That's where most of it comes from. Because they have different values. And because they are just given and given and given and given. They don't have, they got all kinds of idle hands in the devil's workshop. They need to be working. Used to be that refugees came into the country, and always a refugee comes in or an immigrant comes in, there's a chance that they're bad people. And we've always taken that chance. But they came in to work. They came in to make a living, to make a success, to raise their families. These people are not doing that. Some might, but many are not. And the people who say, oh, no, just bring them in, just bring them in, just bring them in. No. You don't need to build a wall either. If you want to build a wall, that's up to you. But you don't need to build a wall. You need to get rid of welfare. The free welfare by government, by men who call themselves benefactors, but give nothing away except what they have taken away from your neighbor. That is destroying this country. That is changing this country from the greatness that we see in Genesis 12:2. Because we are not nourishing people. We are weakening people. We are destroying the character of people, the self-esteem of people. They don't earn it. They don't care about it. You know, all this gender rhetoric that we see is such nonsense. Absolute nonsense. They have perverted the natural use. Isn't that what that was prophesied? Where is that coming from? Because family is not important. Why is family not important? You don't need a family to get an education. You got the government. You don't need a family to take care of you in your old age. You got the government. You don't need a family to fall back on if you fall hungry or in need. You got the government. You got food stamps. You got welfare. You got all these do-gooder churches out there that are just giving stuff away for free. They're food banks. You just go into the food banks and they give you food. With no interest in why you're in the state that you're in. You know, alcoholic wants alcohol. Why doesn't Alcoholic Anonymous just give away booze? Because we know it's self-destructive. It destroys them. So they're helping you learn not to get drunk. And they're other alcoholics are helping one another, and they're sponsoring one another. And they have to eventually help another alcoholic in order to really be cured, because they have to invest in that process in somebody else in order to get better. They have to be a blessing to somebody else to break the bonds of alcoholism. You're addicted to benefits. You're addicted to government and to state and to all these things. You're addicted to a spirit that has brought you into bondage. A spirit of denial. A spirit of selfishness. I mean, that's what the story of Adam and Eve and the eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They wanted to decide for themselves what was good and evil. They didn't want to listen to God. The law of nature is the will of God. How do you know what the will of God is? But through the tree of life, which is the Holy Spirit. Which Enoch listened to. Abraham listened to enough that he was righteous in his generations. That you don't listen to, so you have gone into bondage, into captivity in Egypt. You had to give 20% of everything you produced to the government. How much do you have to give? 20%, 30%, 40%, 50%? I mean, you got to count income tax, property tax, sales tax. It just goes on and on and on. Licensings and fees, it's never ending. In many of the European countries, they're paying 70, 80, even 90% taxes, and you're not even the rich person. That's where America is going to. And you can't stop it. You don't have to stop the train. You have to start repenting and going another way. You have to come together and start being a government that does not operate by force. You have to start being a government that operates by love, which is the same word for charity. Jesus says it, you say love. When Paul says it, you say charity. And Paul says, if you don't have charity, you ain't got nothing. If your church is not taking care of all the social welfare of the people that attend to your church, if the people in your church have to go to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority, you're not the church established by Jesus Christ. If you're not working for the day that will be true in your church is not seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And therefore, your church is not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not preaching the baptism of John the Baptist. You need to repent. You need to turn around and go the other way. The poor, always ye have with you. But me, Jesus says, ye have not always. So he's trying to tell you something. There's always going to be poor people around. And in those days, now the poor people were a little bit different, especially in Jerusalem and Judea. But Herod had brought in the same system of Corban, the type of Corban, that Rome had brought in with their free bread and circuses. And he was doing the same thing, not just in the temple in Jerusalem, but he also built the temple of Roma. For those who didn't like Jewish traditions but liked Roman traditions, he built the temple of Roma, and it did the same thing. You signed up with the temple. That's why you had to have scribes. You signed up, and they would pay out the benefits. They would take care of you in time of need. And they had lots of money to do it because they had lots of people that had to pay in and lots of scribes to keep track of the money that comes in and the money that goes out. Guaranteed benefits. Until the system collapsed. Once you had all those people signed up, the system could actually borrow money to pay out benefits. Then they wouldn't have to melt down the gold that they had in their temples. Because that gold in the temple that you see, that's their reserve fund. Just like the golden calf was a reserve fund. That was show. You saw that and you knew, man, they're wealthy. They're backing up their social welfare system with all this gold. So there's going to be plenty for us. We're not going to run out when we're old and needy. They weren't looking to their children anymore to take care of them. They were looking to the government to take care of them. And their children weren't looking to take care of their parents because they had to pay into the government. So they said they did no more odd for their parents. And that was the Corban that was making the word of God to none effect. And your churches preach that Corban while they claim to be preaching Christ. What apostasy. What a lie. You're on the road to destruction, and time is running out. You need to gather together, and we've put together a way. You know, I just did a bunch of shows on this, and you can go look. You can listen to the shows. You can look at the things that we wrote on this paper that was presented to us by Stephen Americo. And that's the name of the page. Just look up Stephen Americo, and you can find the page with all the audios. And it even has information on how to see his structure document and everything. And a lot of people were fooled by his structure document. You know, and they were fooled by what he wrote. They don't know anything about him. I know people who know him. I know people who have put him up in their spare bedroom for a long time. And their relationship, as he puts it, did not end well. And he offered me more information about him, but I don't really need that. I'm too busy seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But I wrote about that, and I showed that, and I rebuke his plan, because his plan is not the plan of Christ. For many reasons, some of which I didn't even spell out. I still leave it to people to discover if they want to spend time reading that. But what we're teaching you is how that early church operated. And in many ways, we show you why it operated in that way. And it still applies today. It actually applies all the way back to the time of Enoch. And there's legal reasons why you do certain things a certain way, because it's kind of like tracks in history. Once you know where those tracks are, where, you know, how the beast moves about, you know what to avoid and what to do to protect against that. You know, the mighty hunters of the world, like Nimrod. But really, all you have to do is follow Christ and what he said. And that's why we show you in the Free Church Report and Thy Kingdom Come, these books, all free online, how those systems work. But the spiritual part of how they work, we don't always tell you. Because that's God to tell you. But he's told you. You want to be blessed, you must bless others. You want to be forgiven, you must forgive others. You want God to give to you, you must give to others. Law of nature. As you judge, so shall ye be judged. Now, if you bite one another, expect to be bitten and devoured even. You see how that works? If you abort one another, if you join a congregation, you get upset and you abandon it. You abandon all these people in your group. You know, there's a movie, we kind of enjoyed it, we liked it, Dream Team, with Keaton and Christopher Lloyd, and I can't remember all who's in, but anyway, it's a funny movie. But there's one scene in there where Keaton's girlfriend says, "This is your group?" And he said that he's left now. He's abandoned them. They got stranded in the city and he's abandoned them. He's gone off and found his girlfriend. And he says, "This is your group? Where you share the most intimate secrets of your life with them? And when there's a need, you abandon them?" And he throws a fit because what she said was true. And he didn't like dealing with the truth. Which is, of course, why he was in a mental institution to begin with. Why he had this angry temper. But he ended up going back and helping take care of them and helping them. And they all started getting better because they started caring about one another. They started coming out of their neurosis and their insanity and the places where they were hiding from reality because they had each other and they started caring. Now, eventually, they have to stand on their own. They can't be just dependent upon others. And this is the balance. Everybody has to want to strengthen everybody else, not make them dependent upon you. But it requires that they care about somebody else. And it all started because their doctor cared about them. And they begin to care about him. And then they begin to care about each other. And then they started getting better. You know, see, when I see a show like that, I see these principles at work. The author may not see it quite as clear as I see it. But I don't know, he may. I don't know the author, but it was well written. And it was funny. And it was entertaining. But when you see these things, I mean, this is the how we break the bonds. That is capture the whole world back in the bondage of Egypt. As the whole world started caring about one another. This is why I did the show on care. This is why, you know, the people at Bohemian Grove want to kill care. And there's a double meaning in that. You know, they're supposedly killing that, you know, their care and their worry and all this stuff because they're in such responsible positions. You know, that's the way evil presents it. But really what they're doing is killing care in the people. So that the people don't care about one another because those people are going to be easier to control. Easier to chain and bind and manipulate. Because they don't care about anybody else but themselves. They go to the church because it makes them feel good. They don't go to church because it allows them to do good. They don't go to church to help strengthen the poor. They give to the poor and make the poor dependent and more weak than ever. And then what happens is you end up in a society that has gender problems like Sodom and Gomorrah, where they have confused gender. They've removed themselves from the natural course of things. where you don't have to work in order to eat. And so they've perverted nature. Nature requires that, you know, you have to work to eat. You have to move. You have to expend energy to get energy. But they've removed you from that. And then they remove you from the natural use of reproduction. And then they remove you from the natural concept of family. And they remove you from the gregarious nature of society, of gathering together to help one another. You don't have to gather together to help one another. You can just go to the government office and get your food stamps. Don't bother me. I don't want to have to feed you. They dehumanize you. They turn you into a thing. An instrument. No more a man and a woman. So you don't even know what a man and a woman is anymore. And you can go out there and look at all the people that are so confused, so traumatized, and you can judge them. Oh, look how bad those people are. But me, I'm not that bad. But are you that good? Are you doing what Christ said to do? Are you doing what the early church? Early church had to face all the famines, all the economic dearths and destruction and crippling economies that Rome had to face. And they had to face the persecution of Rome, the ostracization of Rome. They still had to take care of their elderly. They still had to take care of their sick. They had to take care of their imprisoned, had to take care of the children of those that were imprisoned and brutalized. And they had to do it without the help of the government of Caesar. They did it with the help of the government of God, which operated by faith, hope, and charity, providing all social welfare for Christians through that faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. If your church is not doing that, your church has a long way to go to being a church established by Jesus Christ. And the church can't do that without people who are willing to sacrifice daily. Daily. For the good of others. Not just those in their congregation, but those all over the network. And all those people who don't even know the gospel of the kingdom. Because the gospel of the kingdom is not really being preached in all these churches all across the land. We are so far away. This is such a strong delusion that even the very elect would be deceived if it wasn't written on their hearts and their minds already. If you're beginning to see this, you need to work together to help others hear and see this. Now, you're not going to enlighten other people so that they know. You can't do that. They must be enlightened from within. You may shine a light on their error. You may point out that this is not the right way. This is destroying your society. This is it is keeping you from a relationship with the real God of heaven, the real creator. Because you're not a blessing to your neighbor. You're not a blessing to your neighbor. Not in the way of the early church. So you will not be blessed. You will be cursed. And you have been cursed. And your children are cursed. And they're all in a bondage and debt that they will never get out of. Except by the grace of God. And if you want that grace, you must care about others. Because what grace have you if you do only love those who love you? You must love others. People who have not even heard this message. Do not even know how the church was organized to help the people seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, to serve the people in their quest for the righteousness of God. That is what the church is supposed to be doing. That's why Christ appointed the church. He didn't appoint all the people who got baptized. He appointed the ministers of the church. And they picked new ministers. And they sent them out, and people could choose which minister they wanted to follow and which minister they didn't want to follow. They could choose that of their own. And they did. And they became the social welfare for all Christians. And they were persecuted because of that. But they could do that. I mean, it's just unbelievable, you know, when you accept that it is believable. And that's why we wrote the books and we wrote these articles and done these audios. And you can go read it and you can check it out. You can join the network. And if you join the network, we can answer more questions. We can show you where the answers are. They're all written out. They're all in videos and they're in audios. So you can look these things up. And then you pray about it, and then you start gathering together in congregations of record, start caring about one another. And God will bless you. If you care about them in a blessing sort of way, with real charity. As many as I love, I also rebuke. If you're not working, if you're not applying yourself, then I'm going to tell you. And I hope to pray that you understand and awaken. Until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.